Ladies Shir of Shar Bitochon, Wednesday, Chaf Beis Elul. Okay, we're learning Shar Bitochon, Sefer Chodesh Al Vavos.
And we'll start from the beginning of Perek Shlishi. We'll go through it quickly. Perek, we're talking about Bitochon. We define Bitochon. We said in Perek Beis that there are seven things, just logically, which would be necessary in order to have bitachon in anybody and anything. And Perek Shlishi starts the workshop of developing bitachon in Hashem. And he says, "Ha'hadamos Hashem be'beirurim ba'amitosam," clarifying that there are five prerequisites. There are five prerequisites for developing bitachon in Hashem. Five things you have to get clear in your mind, which means you have to think. And people don't like to think, and it's a lost art. It's a lost science, a lost art to think. People want to wait for the movie version to come out. It really is a big problem.
Yeah.
Thinking, but there's no way to develop bitachon without thinking. There's no way to develop really any of the Chovos Halvavos without thinking, and the Chovos Halvavos in his Hakdama to the Sefer stresses, and in Shach Heshman HaNefesh, which we started learning on Sundays, that you have to think. A person has to think. The word Homo Sapien means a thinking person. And there's no way around it. If you just want to get through life and just do things and never reflect upon what you're doing, Chagavavav is not to say it to you. Shara Yichud is to reflect about Hashem. Shara Bechina is to reflect about the Bria. And Shara Bodas Elokim is to reflect about HaKoros HaTov to Hashem, etc. So there are five things to think about. Number one is split into seven. Of course, number one is to realize and to be convinced and to think about that the seven things of Perek Beis are true about Hashem. Achas me'en, number one, sheyamin v'yizbar etzlo hiskapsus hashuva in yonam belokim, that the seven things which allow you to have bitachon in anyone or anything, and without them you can't really have bitachon, because bitachon is the way he defined it in Perek Aleph, that you're stress-free and you're calm, like you outsourced it, you gave it over to someone else to do, someone else is taking care of it. You gave someone the deposit to make in the bank, you're not worried about it anymore, you're not stressed. If you have bitachon, reliance, that's the word we use, you're relying on that person to do it. So true reliance is that you're calm. So there are seven things necessary for you to be calm when you have bitachon in anyone or anything. So number one of the five, again, Perek Gimel is starting to work on our bitachon. Number one of the five is to be convinced that the seven things are true about Hashem. You have to mull it over in your mind. And maybe I'm not so sure this is true, I have to admit. Maybe you'll find yourself saying that. Most people do. I'm not convinced that this is true. Think about it, and maybe it's a theological question, or maybe they just never thought about it before. Maybe they don't pay attention to to davening. Tehillim especially is a tremendous resource in bitachon, is just to say Tehillim and realize you're saying Tzukim Tzavon HaMelech, and it's describing things about Hashem. A lot of them we say by davening. So to reflect and be yamin miyizbar etzlo means to believe, and the Chavos is never satisfied with blind or plain belief. Yizbar etzlo means it's clear to him that these seven things are true about Hashem. Asher b'skapsom v'mishabotim bo yitochem, it's possible. This is like that first baby step. Because without these seven things, you're not going to have to talk on anyone or anything. Tochein means it's possible if toachol. course, Chartim, I mentioned them. Arinosi, Aleim, Avishim, Estachon, Liman, Akosut. I talked about how the Psukim show right away, like in Hashkofa Rishoni, you say, well, the seven things can't be true about anyone other than Hashem. But he brought down Psukim. He said he's bringing down Psukim as a mnemonic device to remember. He's coming from a world where people do Psukim. So, oh, that Pusuk, that Pusuk, that Pusuk. But now he goes over them, and his order is slightly different than in the second Perek. And we explain that here it's the order of climbing a ladder. In the second parak, he was describing things like a more poshut, bigger chiddush, bigger chiddush, bigger chiddush. He was presenting them to us intellectually. These are the seven things you need to have bitachon and stuff. Here he's presenting it as an exercise in developing bitachon. So this is my chat, why he changes the order. Here the order is the bottom rung of the ladder, then you go to the next. Harishon Shabori is Borach. Number one is the same as number one in Perek Beis. This is like the first step. Shabori is Borach Merachem Al Ha'olam Yosef Mikol Merachem. Hashem loves us and cares about us and wants good things for us more than anyone else in the world, more than a spouse, more than a parent. And we all know as parents that that's heavy, because the closest image we have of Hashem caring about us is the way we feel about our children. The way normal people feel about their children, and really we are born in Lamarco, and probably I've said true that Kibbut Avayim, the relationship between a parent and a child, really mirrors our relationship with Hashem, both from the perspective of the child, that we should expect from the child keep an avayim, mora avayim, is the way we deal with Hashem, and our discipline and love and caring about and doing for the child really is a reflection. We get a glimpse, oh, so that's what Hashem is doing. He was talking about if you know what you're doing and you're disciplined, but you love, and you don't try to smash the kid down. You know, if we do it right, which is it's not simple, but it's if you sometimes. You could make an end run around all the parenting classes, maybe. If you just say, well, this is what I would want Hashem, this is how Hashem, this is what I've learned. Hashem loves me, but he disciplines me, and he cares about me, and he wants me to go to sleep on time, or else I'm not going to be able to learn tomorrow. And he'll punish me when it's necessary, but he won't arbitrarily punish me, and so on and so forth. So, and really, it is a reflection of that. This is not the time to talk about parenting or keep it up a aim, but this is what he's saying. Hashem loves you more than that. And I think, you know, whether it's maybe a spouse, maybe a man and woman, maybe a parent and child, I think we think of a parent and child as more unconditional love than really spouses. We call rachamim, we're sort of embarrassed to talk about love, even though the Rambam says that. That's what Shirashirim is. Shirashirim is really the problem is the Goyim, the secular world has debased the love between a man and a woman, and so we're like embarrassed to talk about romantic love. But really, it is more than a parent to a child, because it's a bonding of becoming one and being one, and there's nothing as close as that. Al Kaponim, but Hashem is more than Yosef Mikol Merachem. The Kol Rachamim, and in fact, he says, any love that a person receives, this is like a tremendous, a beautiful, beautiful thought. Any love we receive is coming from Hashem. Hashem is just channeling it through the parent, through the spouse. This is Hashem's love. He's showering us with good things. He is giving us, this is Hashem's love. He just set it up that we experience it through parent, spouse, a good friend, and so on. So that's number one. B'chol rachamim v'chemlo sheheyu b'zulaso alav kulam hei merachmei hakel v'chemloso Moshom ra'akosim v'nosom l'cho rachamim v'richamcha v'herbecha. A beautiful pshat in the pasuk. In case you learn Chumash and you come across this pasuk, it's in the aftermath of destroying inherently Dachas, which is kind of weird, but that's a discussion in itself. And because Allah says, look at the pasuk, Hashem will give you rachamim, meaning someone will care about you, but v'richamcha, it's really coming from Hashem. So number one is to be committed. If you don't think that Hashem wants only what's good for you and cares about you and loves you, and then you can't stop. It's not going to stop. Bitachon won't begin. Doesn't matter that Hashem's powerful or Hashem runs the world. You're not going to rely on someone psychologically, intellectually. You're not going to rely on a power that doesn't care about you. So that's Tov Hashem Lakol, V'rachamov Lakol Ma'asov, Chesed Hashem Me'olam V'yad Olam. There are many psukim that reflect that. And this is really, people have trouble with this. As I said, it's interesting, it's not one of the 13 animamins. I have to believe Hashem doesn't have any form of goof. Hashem knows what I'm thinking about. Hashem doesn't say I have to believe Hashem is good and cares about mankind. And I said a few weeks ago, it's more than an animamin. It really, and really this is Ramchal, that this is the essence of Hashem. Why did Hashem create the world? Hashem is a tov. We can't know the essence of Hashem. He's unknowable. But what he has revealed to us is that he's tov. And that's his essence. It's not an attribute. It's not one of the animamins. And really, we should learn a Musar Haskel from that, because when we emulate Hashem, and this is in Tom and Dvorah, this is in many places, and we want to be native because we want to emulate Hashem, it's more than just doing good deeds. It's more pnimi. It's, you have to be a good person to care about people. That's tough. That's tough. It's easier to do chesed. It's relatively easy to do chesed and pretty hard to really care. To really care about people, fellow Jews. Anyway, this is all off the subject. The main point is to be convinced that Hashem cares about us more. My parent cares about me more than anyone that you imagine cares about you, so Hashem cares about you more. A very powerful statement, a very true and very important, and you have to believe it, and you have to more than believe it. You have to read Tzukim, you have to think about it, talk about it, you have to realize, you have to be convinced that it's so. Not going to work. Chavos Halvavos, you can't get by like you can get by with a mezuzah and Shabbos, and you can't get by Chavos Eivarim, you can get by just doing things by rote, going through the motions. You don't have to apply yourself. But that's the point, that's why he wrote the Sefer. Chavos Halvavos has to engage you. It's not just doing something. Vahasheni, number two, here is number four in the second parak, that Hashem knows what's best for you. Ki abori yisala lo yeomu memenu ofani to'ala sa'odam, Hashem. You don't know. We don't know what's good for us. We have very limited vision. We want instant gratification. We want what feels good for the moment. Hashem is looking at, and Hashem's looking at our neshama also. It's not everything is going to be good for us if bad for our neshama. There's a long haul here. You have all of my above. Okay? We're not looking at people should willingly trade a life of Yisurim if it's machaper on them, and they don't have to go through whatever punishments or merchak from Hashem there is in the next world. People would, so anyway, Hashem knows what our toelus is, and it doesn't even have to be so esoteric as what's good for our neshama, although it's true. But he means he knows what's good for us, he knows where it's good for us to live, he knows where it's good for our child to go to school, he knows which shidduch is good for us, he knows which job is good for us, he knows which section is good to live in. Now, good does not mean what we call good, necessarily. We call good filled with pleasure, and usually it's instant pleasure. We don't want to wait 5 minutes, that's really too long. We need push-button phones. Who remembers a rotary phone? Like, you have to wait, you dial zero. Like, you have to wait. And we don't even want to push buttons anymore. You're not going to buy a phone without a redial button. Without, you put in 10 speeds, so you press 1 for mommy, you press 2 for... We want instant gratification. Anyway, Hashem knows better, and you have to be convinced of it. You have to really say, if I didn't get this job, it is not the best thing for me. But you don't have to say it's not good for me. Hashem wants the best for you. You say it's not the best for me. This friend is not the best for me. This shidduch was not the best for me. This school is not the best. But I didn't know things that it's logical because Hashem made us. And just as the manufacturer always knows what's best for the upkeep of the machine, you should leave it in the sun, you shouldn't leave it in the sun, you should oil it, how often should you oil it, how do you take care of it, the manufacturer knows the best. So the Chazalala says, and that's just the manufacturer who really doesn't know the inner essence of the materials, he just is marking the things, right? He takes the different materials and he puts it together. But Hashem already created us from scratch, so he certainly knows what's best for us. What makes us ill, spiritually ill, and getting better, Yoser may say, no one knows better than the manufacturer. If that's true about a refrigerator manufacturer, they just happen to put together materials that have already been created. They don't create the materials which make a refrigerator. Down to what we know now, because we know physics, so we know how deep it goes. But Hashem was mechadesh a person from the very essence of his or her neshama. The tzuraso, the tchunoso, the seyde chiburo, everything. I would put together. I'm going very fast because we learned it already. Certainly, he's the chacham who knows the to'alios and the zokov, the hatovlo ba'olamo in this world. Achriso and the next world, belief suffering. No question. Kamar Shakazu Mani Hashem Alokach Malamed Cholahoil Madvichecha Bederech Teilech VeOmar Ki Yes Asher Yeh Hav Hashem Yochiach. And here it says Befeir Shuchaavas Ben Yirtzer. So that's number two. You have to be convinced of it. So you say, what? Why are there another five things? Hashem loves me more than anyone else in the world, and Hashem and cares about me more than anyone else in the world, and Hashem knows what's best for me. Like, that's it. No, there's five more things you have to be convinced of before you can start to develop bitachon. I say start, because again, Paragimel will go through five prerequisites. We're only learning number one, which is made up of seven parts. Then there's five prerequisites. Then Paragdalid gives us situations. Really, it's like a workbook, I said. Perek Dalet says, okay, this happened to you. What's the Boteach's mindset when this happens? Let's practice. That's going to be a Perek Dalet. Vashlishi, number three. This is number three in the second Perek as well. That Hashem is omnipotent. No one can stop him from doing what he wants to do. So, of course, I forgot about that. Because if I'm going to rely on someone and I'm going to be totally calm, I can't think that someone may love you to pieces and may know what's best for you, but doesn't have the ability to do anything for you. Someone told me, you'll see a story this morning, someone I like, and, you know, I don't like his pieces, but I like him. And I know what he needs, but I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do to help you. But there's no such thing with Hashem. Chazak mikol chazak, gedvor nigzor mikol davar, ve'ineshev dino, nothing can stymie him, stop him, k'mo shenemar, kol ha-shechavitz Hashem osa, omar ke'i ha-dvori ha-sheyetzi mipi lo yeshuv ha-ilai ve'kom, ki'im osa es asher chafatzti. We say that's right, Rabos Machshavos B'levish, Matzas Hashem Yisakum, obviously, Matzas Hashem Yolom Tamod, Machshavos Libol Lador Vador, Ki'u Omar Ve'yehu, Tzva Ve'yamod. So that's number three. You have to be convinced of it. To say, oh, but my boss doesn't like me. But how can it be? How is it going to happen? He said, don't worry. Hashem could figure out how you could do anything. Hashem could maneuver that anything could happen. Doesn't have to be a nice goal. You don't think, oh, we're not such a tradition nowadays. Varavi, number four here is number two in Perek Beis. Hashem knows everything that's going on. Oh, Hashem is not Mesiach Das. He doesn't forget about you. He's not too tired. He doesn't put you on his waiting list, put you on hold, put you on the bottom of the list. He has other things to get to right after I go home. I have like 1,000 emails waiting for me. Someone's going to have to be on the bottom of the list. No, there's no bottom of the list with Hashem. Doesn't put them aside, doesn't blow his alayim, nothing is hidden. He knows everything that's going on, and it's not like, oh, Hashem doesn't know how pained I am by this event. Of course he knows. When is Hashem going to get to this? No such thing. Boy, Yashkicheu Dover as Dover, he doesn't have a long list that he forgets. Meshikasav Loma Tomah. You know, we may not verbalize those words, but we think they're equivalent. You know, Hashem's busy running the whole world. Hashem's busy with the Middle East peace talks. He doesn't have time to figure out where I'm going to find that ingredient that I need to make my honey cake for Rosh Hashanah. But that's not true. You know, we laugh, but it's not true. It's so mind-blowing that it's hard to fathom. But that's part of it. It's really not a chiddush if you have an awareness of what Hashem is from Shar HaYichud. So it's not like, wow, Hashem has this list of a billion things, like, wow, he must have one heck of a computer. Hashem is everything. Everything is flowing from Hashem. He doesn't have to remember anything. We talked about this in Shar HaYichud. It really has to do with the nature of Hashem and how everything in the world, everything in existence, flows from Hashem's essence. He wills it. So everything is Him. And that's really what the Rambam says when the Rambam talks about the impossibility, or the seeming impossibility, I should say, of Bechira and Yediya. And the Rambam deals with that philosophical question: if Hashem knows, how could you have free choice if Hashem knows? So the Rambam just says we really can't deal with the question because we don't really have a grasp of Hashem's knowledge, because Hashem's knowledge is not like our knowledge. We know things that are outside of ourselves. I'm just saying words now, by the way. I don't know what I'm talking about. Rambam says we only know things that are outside of ourselves. We know events. We know things. So we know them either after they happen or they're for sure going to happen. Hashem's knowledge is part of His essence. It's not something outside of Him. It's Him. So And he says that's why we can't know the answer to the question, because we don't understand Hashem's knowledge. What I'm saying here is that we shouldn't be so, it's a little childish, if you'll excuse the expression, to think of it that Hashem has a long laundry list, but he manages to remember everything because he has a very powerful notepad. And you think, okay, but maybe it's going to slip by him, you know, that I have to go back to the store because I forgot something. Or what the Mets did last night. I'm coming from America, it's like... It's not... Hashem doesn't have to remember anything. Everything is from Hashem. Everything's happening as an emanation of Him. So, He knows Himself. So He knows everything. That's number four, which was number two in the second parak. Hashem doesn't forget anything. And look, the Navi says, Yeshayahu HaNavi, Lomo Tomar Yaakov, was with Aver Yisrael, Nistra Darki Me Hashem, Ome Elakai Mishpati Yavar, because it does seem some way sometimes. Right? We do have a concept of Hester Ponim, which just means it's hidden from us. Not just Chas V'Shalom. But sometimes Hashem's hiding from us, so it seems. So, Lomo Tomar Yaakov, don't talk like that. That Hashem is just abandoning us. The Omar Halo Yadatem Lo Shemata Lekeolam Hashem Borik Tzolsoris Lo Yiyav Lo Yigo In Chekelus Benaso. No limit to what he knows. He knows everything, and he doesn't forget. What?
What was the context of that quote?
In Yeshayahu Mem?
Yeah.
Or in which pasuk?
When
the Jews sinned and they were punished, the Holocaust. So the people that became Apikorsim said that. They said Hashem abandoned us. Either there's no Hashem, or He abandoned us, or don't, right? There's no such thing. Vachamishi, number five here is, I think number six of Herod Bays. Shem bi arechel me habruim laho el esnafsho velo lahaziko. This is not as simple as it sounds. There is no other power, because we think of teva. Really, I've said this many times, I'll say it again. The insidiousness of newspapers and of news is that everything is cause and effect, and everything is happening, and the columnists, and even from wonderfully informed people, very informed people, and they explain everything, and everything seems logical. But how many people have to realize they're talking about it after it happens? After it happens, they can ascribe it to this, ascribe it to that, and it's really very. And America does this because of that, and I got fired because of this, and the economy was bad, and that's what we're talking about. And we, that's terrible. So when you read it in here, you say, well, of course not. But it means any teva, any power, any teva, any natural event, any relationship dynamic that you think just. Well, that's what happened, you know, this happened. I have an obnoxious neighbor, of course. Ain't be an echad, no one can hurt you. And you don't have to be afraid of your boss, you don't have to be afraid of the friend, you don't have to be afraid of the principal. There are laws governing our relationships. They're all in the Torah. It's been of Machavera. This is not an advertisement to go around being obnoxious to everyone, because you don't care what they think of you and you don't care what they do to you. But the truth is, we don't care. They can't do anything to us. We care. All our relationships are governed by Torah, by mitzvahs, by another machaveiro, by v'yachaloyecha kamocha. That's a mitzvah. That's a din. That's one of the 248 mitzvahs I say. So you have to do it, but not because. Or else he won't recommend me for the job. See, this really—if we could work on this, we will not be manipulative of people. This is the problem. That's what he said in Shari Yichud HaMaisa, that a person that lives with ulterior motives for everything they do besides violating the very reality, violating the belief of the reality that nothing can affect my life except to Hashem, nobody that's talking badly about me, nobody that doesn't like me, nothing can affect my life unless it's Hashem's will. Besides that, it's also manipulative. He makes that point in Shayich and Hamaisa. It's not living my life to elicit certain reactions from people. So it's a violation of bitachon. It's a violation, really, of an emunah that Hashem. It's a violation of this number 5, which was number 6 of Perek Beis. And it also makes you into a manipulative person. And it's not a good way to be. Yeah. Absolutely correct, except when the Torah wants you to get angry. Again, all our relationships, all our emotions are governed by the Torah. And if a neighbor, if someone talked badly about you and you didn't get into a school, a child didn't get into a school, or someone talked badly about you and you didn't get a job, or someone did something and talked Lashon Hara, this happens every day. I don't know, to me it happens a couple of times a day. Just kidding. It's Hashem, and this is so important to realize. And this takes away. This is how the Chinuch explains the Issa Nekama, which is unfathomable. I mean, it's like Lo Sitar is even harder. Don't bear a grudge. What do you mean, don't bear a grudge? You know the guy did to me, but he stole from me. You know, don't get angry at the person. Person didn't steal from you. If they stole from you, either you can get the money back through the police or through court or through Beis Din, whatever the case is. And then Hashem wanted you to have the Agmas Nefesh. You know what happened to me? I tell you a nice story. I gave back the rental car. This happened a few hours ago, really. I gave back the rental car and I'm walking with my stuff to the SkyTrain. You know JFK? You want to know the SkyTrain? He went to the terminal, and my tick fell, and the thing spilled out. So I scooped it up, and I put it back in, and I go onto the elevator, go onto the SkyTrain, and Chazdei Hashem, like, thank you. For some reason, I checked, and I saw I didn't have my passport. I looked in the tick, and I didn't have my passport. Why I looked in the tick while I was in the elevator going up to the SkyTrain to get to the terminal, I don't know why now, but there's no rational explanation for it. And that's why I didn't have. And then I said it must have fallen out when everything spilled out, and I didn't notice it. And I scooped up everything, and I go back downstairs in the elevator. I don't know, well, maybe I left it back in for Rockaway. David Ryan's house, where I packed. Yeah. And who knows where it is, but I go back downstairs and no passport. I look around, no passport. There's a Schwarzer sitting on the bench, Afro-American. He's sitting on the bench and he looks at me and he says, did you lose a passport? I go, yeah. He says, the lady, like there's official people walking around, she found it and she went upstairs to bring it to the place, lost and found this. And he says, watch. And, I mean, if he wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't. Schwarzer was sitting there and he says, watch my things. He had some things there. He ran up the stairs and he called the lady down and she came down and she gave me back my passport. Like, Nisa. But what's my point? Hashem wanted me to have tremendous aggravation and worry and, oh my goodness, what's going to be? I'm going to miss my flight. I'm not going to be able to give the Chalaf Allah this year. Like that. The whole thing is like 60 seconds. I had to undergo tremendous agmas nefesh and aggravation and who knows what for 60 seconds. Now, why did he do that for? What did I... You know, I don't know. I obviously deserved it as a kapara, and But it was so limited and such and so blessed with chesed, because to think, to look, I could have looked for it when I walked into the terminal and they said, passport please. And I could have realized it then. It's just, but that's the point here. No one, everything's from Hashem. And so I was saying, if someone steals from you, we don't know. See, this is what people always ask me. So if someone steals from me, why should I report it to the police? Because you don't know what Hashem had planned for you. Maybe Hashem wants you to have the aggravation. You have to be guided by the Torah. If I'll be Torah, you could get it back, and you can take steps to take the person to Beis Din, or to court, if that's appropriate, or to the police. So you do that. Because you don't know if Hashem wanted you to lose the money, if he wanted you to spend money in order to get it back, if he wanted you just to have the aggravation, as I had for 60 seconds, maybe he wanted you to have the aggravation for the next 2 months. You have aggravation of trying to get back what was stolen from you. So it's not a kasha. You don't have to. This rule does not tell us to fatalistically accept whatever happens to us and, like, not react. You react in the appropriate Torah way. But there's lo siko and lo sitar, and there's an issa lashon hara. You read the Chafetz Chaim. Anybody do the daily lashon, right? Daily. If you do the daily Chafetz Chaim, so in today is Chafetz Chaim. He says, you know, if someone steals from you, you know, we go around. I can't tell enough people that guy stole from me. Ah, ganav. Ah, crook. Ah, shyster. He jit me. He rooked me. Right? It's osur lashon hara. Rechilus. Terrible. Love. A love. It's not human. It's not human. It's not human to say lo sitar. That's what it seems. So what does the chinuch say? The chinuch says it's developing the idea that it's from Hashem. So it's like nothing personal. You're not angry at the person. You can get it back. You can chase after him. You can send the police after him. But you're not angry at him. Yeah.
What about, not at an individual level, but you know, those who are out to harm all Israel, whether it's physically or spiritually?
That's even on an individual level, the pasuk says, "Halo misanecha Hashem esno uviskomemecha esko Torah." The first answer to your question is everything's governed by the Torah. So if it's habol lehargecha hashken leharvo, if it's that whoever is sonei kal Yisrael is really sonei Hashem. And therefore, halom nesanecha Hashem esna, and we react accordingly, but we don't react viscerally from our emotions. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens, the churban beis hamikdash, the Holocaust. If we can't stand the thought of buying anything German, my father, Olam Hashalom, nothing. I mean, I don't know. My wife wants that KitchenAid, whatever it's called, you know. But that's not the point. The point is, if it's Al-Pi Torah, we do react a certain way to our enemies. But again, the Torah is guiding us. We don't just lash back. We might be doing something usur if we lash back at a fellow Jew. We might be doing something futile and pointless, and it's, you know, and it's not, there's no point. We're just venting, and we're losing sight of the fact that it's Hashem. And I want to recommend the latest book that just came out from Victor Miller, posthumously, called A Divine Madness, where he discusses the Holocaust. And he discusses it in many of his sermon. He touches upon it, but here there was a manuscript that they found that he never published when he was alive. And he talks about the Holocaust. But again, the perspective is, we learned Parshas Kitavo, and we learn Nitzavim, and we learn Hazinu, and we remember B'chukosai. So even on a national level, that's not to say that we, you know, Nakama in Goyim, Lasos Nakama Bagoyim Tochichos Balumim. You know, Shimshon HaGibor took Nakama from the Goyim. And that, the fourth Hallelujah talks about taking Nakama and punishing the Goyim for what they do, and that's justice. But again, we're guided by the Torah. So that's why it's not easy, number five, because, first of all, again, we live in a world of cause and effect, seeming cause and effect. So we don't. And every it's very hot. Every newspaper we read, every news report we hear. You know, no newspaper. How far would a newspaper get if they would keep on reminding you that this is Hashem from Hashem? No one would buy the paper.
Can you just repeat what the fifth principle is?
What?
The fifth principle.
The fifth principle is that no one can harm you or help you, which is also a point to be made, unless it's the will of Hashem. Everybody is just a shliach of Hashem. If you have a neighbor that throws garbage onto your merpeset, show of hands, everybody. Maybe the neighbor's here. What do I do if the neighbor's in the class? This is the class only of people whose neighbor throws garbage onto their merpeset. The neighbor never comes to these classes. Anyway, Hashem's throwing the garbage onto your merpeset. That doesn't mean ignore it and swallow. Although sometimes that might be an appropriate reaction. Shyly, you have to know who you're dealing with. Write them a letter, talk to them nicely. But ultimately, as that very insightful lady in the back said, I'm sorry for not knowing your name, you don't get angry at them. What are you getting angry at them for? Hashem's throwing the garbage on. And it's so funny to think that way, but that's the reality. It's reality. Hashem is doing that. And maybe it's in the science for you to learn sablanut. Maybe it's in the science for you to learn how to deal with such situations instead of just lashing. And don't take the comma, because we all want to take the comma, right? Because if they come to you the next day and they want to borrow sugar, you say, sugar binich. You're throwing garbage. That's the comma. That's terrible. That's the comma. Tosser. That's what the chinuch says. The chinuch says this principle as a way of doing the kama. He recognizes the near impossibility of it, and he says you can only do it if you realize that it's Hashem. It's not really that person. Of course, that doesn't potter that person from getting punished if he deserves to be punished. That's famous. That's Paro, right? Paro got punished even though it was in Zeir from Shemayim. And, even David, who famously was zochet to be in the highest of the high madregas, like the Avos, by telling his general not to touch Shimi ben Gera, who cursed him, because Hashem Omer lo Kalel, right? That's a famous event in David's life. Obviously, one could say a watershed event, because he became what's called part of the Merkava, the Shechina. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David, and he became that with this great insight, it was very nogei. He's running away from Avshalom. His Rebbe comes and curses him and says he deserves whatever happens to him, and he's the king, and it's Mori the Malchus, and he says Hashem Amar Lo Kalel. But my point is that years later he does punish him. He tells Shlomo HaMelech to punish him. You have to be able, sometimes it's, you have to walk that tightrope. Now maybe, so what was David thinking? Why didn't he punish him immediately? That we don't know. We don't know. Maybe, sometimes you have to be afraid of a visceral reaction. Even when you punish a child, sometimes, you wait a week. Because sometimes you're just lashing out in anger because they violated your will, and that's not the way to be mechanech a child. You don't get angry and you punish a child because they have the chutzpah to go against you, and you're bigger than they are. One day they're going to be bigger than you. Be careful. So maybe, I don't know, we don't know. We don't know why David HaMelech then, maybe he wanted to establish the principle of Hashem Amalo Kalel. But that had to do with Avshalom also. And then he makes such a tremendous levaya and hesped for Avshalom, who was just moraed against him. And then Yoav says, what are you doing? You're making a fool out of everyone. You're making the whole clan yourself feel like fools. Because they can't handle that. You're giving a hesped on Avshalom. Because David HaMelech, right, he understood. Everything's from Hashem. You do what you got to do. And therefore, it's so important to be guided by Torah, both in feelings and in actions. because the Torah says what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Sometimes you do make fun. Leitzonus of Avodah Zarah, leitzonus of people who are trying to harm Torah. But this is like big stuff when it's mutter to do. That we have to be well versed in Chafetz Chaim, right? Because you can be able to Issel Hashemara, Rechilus. Anyway, but this fifth principle is so hard because we live in a world of seeming cause and effect. Ki im b'shus habori is brach, everything is only b'shus Hashem. And we'll stop here. The bell for recess or lunchtime. And now I'll remember we're in the middle, we started Chamishi. Okay. But we're not going to learn. Oh, next Wednesday is Erev Rosh Hashanah. But the next Wednesday of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Be'ezus Hashem, we will learn. And we will learn this Sunday, Shear Cheshbon HaNefesh, Be'ezus Hashem. What? Oh, you're not coming Sunday? That's okay. I'll do it. Mm-hmm.